Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 9th, 2014, and I'm going to make a few announcements, Jason, but I want you to be chewing on this concept. Actually, it was a portion of your prayer. I get a lot of material from your prayers, but talk a little about the cost that was paid on our behalf as we continue in this season of Lent and work towards next week with Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Resurrection Sunday, literally less than 2 weeks away. So be thinking about that. I want to point out yesterday, if you missed the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, we had a conversation with Anita Bedell. And she talked all about the ills of gambling, the wreckage that it'll bring to a community. And we pointed that out because a week from yesterday, there'll be a special meeting, a gathering at the Muhammad Public Library where there'll be a vote, or the trustees will be gathering. Jason, is that what's going on?
The trustees are going to meet to discuss, and my understanding is to vote on bringing video gambling to Muhammad. So the business owners and the people who are prominent in the community, they have FaceTime with the trustees a lot. But the average layperson, the average person who lives in a neighborhood in Muhammad, the average family, doesn't really ever get FaceTime with those trustees unless, say, it's a neighbor or something like that. So this is a great time on the 15th at 5:45. You need to be there to sign in to be able to get some FaceTime for allow them to see your faces, to hear your concerns, for you to hear both sides of the discussion, for a good, informed decision to be made that benefits the community. It's not about any one person's position or disposition on this. It is about what is good for the community, and not just for the community like myself, but good for my kids and your kids, the kids who we will hand the next generation of this community to. What is good for them? Because the bulk of this decision doesn't affect us today and tomorrow and that. I mean, it'll come into a few businesses and we'll see as video gaming, but where will it be when Muhammad has a truck stop? Where will it be when Muhammad has a hotel? Where will it be, God forbid, Muhammad has a roadside casino or small establishment that does that? Well, how will that benefit or impact our kids? And that's what I'm really passionate about.
And that discussion is archived. It was yesterday's broadcast. You can go to greatnewsradio.org and look for that link. It'll be with Tuesday's date, April 8th. And I don't want to make an allegation, Jason, but it was kind of interesting how they kind of ushered in that discussion, I think, during spring break. So a lot of people were unaware of this. And this isn't something just for the Muhammad community. As we talked about it yesterday, we invite other people to come out because it's happening throughout our state. And really, it's a shame that so many people's resources are going towards gambling when they could go to so many other healthier activities.
Well, it's not just the issue of gambling. The issue is that there's two things. Number one, culturally or socially, if it doesn't affect me, I don't think much about it. But suddenly when it does affect me, so I don't think much about cancer. Now, I'm in a unique position because I know a lot of people who have had cancer. I've gone to the hospital. I've done those things. But if I'm an average person and I've never known anybody who really had cancer and I haven't had cancer, I don't really understand it. So I just kind of don't pay attention to it. And yet the minute somebody I know gets cancer or I get cancer, suddenly I know a whole lot about it because I understand the devastation and the impact that it has. You know, when abortion was legalized years and years ago, I don't think that we would have said, wow, now we're sitting atop 50 million or whatever it is babies who have been aborted since that date. It didn't seem bad then. But today, it's a whole different story. And so my fear is always the decisions we make today, what will they look like multiplied into tomorrow? And so I don't want to make any allegations. I just want to hope and pray. You know, I would ask every listener to pray, because listen, God doesn't lose. God's word accomplishes, God's gospel accomplishes exactly what God sets it out to do, sets forth for it to do. So let's pray. Because God's sovereign and he's in control. Only he can convict and change the hearts of people. And so that's my prayer. It's been, God, just speak truth to the trustees. Speak truth to the people in Muhammad. Speak truth, at least the kind of truth that would cause them to pause and spend a moment to just really ponder this. Ponder it beyond the idolatry of the dollar. Ponder it beyond, we could build a few sidewalks with some of the money that might come in. Beyond that, and how can we instead take the money that would have gone this way and somehow have it come into the community in a really positive way. In fact, I had a chance to sit down with somebody just before church the other day, and they said, you know, I agree with you. What if we did dot, 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 dot? And they had like four or five great ideas for how they would see money being brought into the community and sown into the community, whether it's, you know, really working on the Mahomet downtown to make it a place where families could walk up and down the street, ice cream store, that kind of stuff, or even just developing the Mahomet Park areas so that it can be a destination, because we already have these beautiful parks, but what can we do to kind of bolster that? And so there were so many great ways, I think, that we can do it. This is not the great answer, in my opinion.
And that Village Trustee Board meeting will be held next Tuesday, April 15th. You need to be there by 5:45 to check in, and it's being held at the Mahomet Public Library, 1702 East Oak Street. Basically, that's Route 150 as you enter into Mahomet from the east. So at that new Mahomet Public Library, I guess it's been there 3 or 4 years now.
But it's not new anymore. It's been there as long as I've been here.
Yeah, so there'll be a week from tomorrow. And those of you
maybe you need to go to the library more. You think it's new.
Hey, I don't know. That's going to be a new part of my experience nowadays.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. The library is a great place to go for videos. I go there all the time and dig brand new DVDs. You can go in there and it's free. You just pick a couple up. CDs. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. Advocate for the libraries. Also, those of you that were tuned in Monday, wow, the feedback continues. I've gotten cards, notes, calls, text messages, Facebook postings, even a birthday cake was delivered, and we thank God for the Great News Radio listeners and how uniquely he's raised up so many people to put WGNN on the air. We celebrated our 18th birthday on April 7th. That was on Monday. We launched it on Easter Sunday, April 7th, 1996, and God's taken us through 18 years of growth, of development, of using the broadcast to help people on their faith journey. And so thank you for all the feedback, those of you that have been praying many years. I know there was a number of people, Jason, on that very first Easter Sunday, we had a special reception where they got to tune in for the first time and see what God birthed. What better day than Easter Sunday? Mm-hmm. And that's, I won't say the Super Bowl of holidays for you, but I know how many people focus on Christmas, and it's a wonderful celebratory time. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ through his birth, but you and your family have a passion for Easter. In fact, it's kind of like the special season for you. And so I began the program saying, but was there a cost? Did this Easter come at a price to God? And how can we maybe, as we're in this Lent season, as we're approaching Maundy Thursday, as we approach Good Friday and then Resurrection Sunday, how can we maybe get grounded in the price that was paid?
Yeah. First, the question is, I mean, why? Why the cross? I mean, for some of us would say, well, it was for sin and atonement. It was where Jesus took upon him the wrath of God, the wrath that was due to us in our rebellion. And that through Christ's offering, through his blood that was shed on the cross, I mean, you have to mention that in any gospel presentation, that peace was made with God, and that the resurrection is that great exchange that happened, where there was a completion of the work that God had done. But sometimes we say those words and it sounds so easy. You know, it's almost as if when somebody says, can I pray for you? Or you just need to talk to Jesus about that. And for some of us, we get frustrated when people say things like that because it sounds trite. But if I say to you, if you come up to me and you say, Jason, can you? And I say, I just think you really need to just bear down and discuss that with Jesus. You need to get alone with God and talk about that. I'm going to be here to walk with you, but you need to get alone with God and talk about that. If you walk away from my conversation with me and you go, boy, he was trite. He was really dismissive. I wasn't dismissive. It's that you don't realize the weight that comes behind those words. When I say that you need to go to the cross and discuss it with Christ 2,000 years and some change ago, there was excruciating pain, an excruciating weight that carried itself towards the cross for your benefit. And we don't oftentimes realize that. A Sunday ago, I preached out of Galatians about the freedom of the gospel, and this great verse in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 that says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And the interesting thing about this passage is it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. So we have been set free. But what have we been set free from? What have we been set free from? Well, many of us can answer that question pretty simply. We would say, well, I've been set free from sin. I've been set free from condemnation. I've been set free from eternal punishment. I've been saved and I'm being sanctified in Christ. I've been set free from hell. You know, I know that's not a popular thing to talk about, but set free from hell. But oftentimes, so we know what we've been set free from, but the problem is we don't understand what we've been set free to. And we've been set free to the understanding that I no longer have to be God. I no longer have to be in charge of my own fulfillment. You know, it is a exhausting weight to have to be in charge of finding out what fulfills you. It's an exhausting weight to walk around and try and answer the question that's already been answered through Christ and the cross. For you to try and answer that. And I just want to be straight with all of you. You guys make really junky gods. You really do. You really do. And that's just honesty. What's funny is that none of us would really admit that. I mean, you wouldn't come up to me and you wouldn't say, hey, I just want you to know I'm God. Because right away you know that I would file you in, under loony, and that would just be real simple. Okay? But the problem is that many of us, if not most of us, at some point in season in our life, we live like we are God.
Yeah, there's that subtlety in the decisions we make and how we look and view ourselves and so forth.
Oh, totally. Even in that I would say to you, I want to pray with you about this, or you need to talk to Jesus about this, and you go, pfft, I don't even care. He doesn't even care about me. I mean, I can't believe that that's what he said. I mean, if it's just that easy, I would have done it myself. I wouldn't even come and talk to you, Jason. No. In that moment now, you believe you're your own God because you're not laying that down and handing it over to God. Instead, you're trying to find your own fulfillment, and my words didn't bring you what you thought it should bring you. So now you're like, whatever. And you don't believe the weight that comes behind that. Because I want to tell you what, one of the things that the freedom that Christ bought for us at the cross brought is that now we don't have to chase after the things that only produce for us guilt and shame. They only produce for us condemnation. Instead, now through the cross and through Christ and through the power of the gospel, the freedom of the gospel, that we can now live with life and vitality and love. We don't have to be exhausted, though there will be times when we are tired. And I want to tell you what, I think that's okay. I get a lot of people who come to me and they go, man, I'm just so tired. And I said, thank God, because if you weren't tired, you'd have a lot of energy and nowhere to put it. And whenever you get like that, you put it into things you should not. Let's just be honest. That's when we lay down and we go, I got a lot of free time. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll watch this. You know, when our eyes linger and we watch something we ought not to watch for way too long. You know, it's sort of like the car crash. When you go by, you don't realize that you stare. And you stare some more, and you stare some more. And it's just naturally what we do. It's the bend of our flesh to do those things. And so we've been set free from having to live like that, from having to live in things that are only going to bring us guilt and shame, that are only going to bring us condemnation, that are only going to draw us away from the cross and not towards the cross. And in that, we don't have to earn our freedom. Instead, we can enjoy our freedom. And what I love about this verse is that it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Whenever the Bible says therefore, you've got to ask the question, what's the therefore? This there is there because afterwards it says, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Because we'll forget that for freedom, Christ has set us free. We'll forget that Christ came for your freedom and my freedom. That when he went to the cross, your name and my name, all of our names were in the back of his mind, the front of his mind. However that worked, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, and I'm not going to try and interject something in there. But let me just tell you, the Bible tells me that God knows all the hairs on my head, that God has been and always will be, that tomorrow isn't something that God simply knows about. It's a place that God is. So God was here and there at the same time, and he saw me and knew me, and at the same time saw and knew what Christ was going to do. So in that great, big, eternal, divine moment, God was orchestrating all things towards his glory. And in that, he knew who he was saving. Now, the funny thing is, though, is that we'll fall back to a yoke of slavery. We really will. This is what will happen. It's crazy. This is what will happen. Is we'll get into a tough season of life. We'll get into a crazy season of life. We'll get into just a nuts place in our life. And we'll start to doubt that God is really for our freedom. We'll start to doubt that. And it's a slippery slope, and we'll start sliding down that slope, and we'll start to not believe and understand that God is for us, but instead we'll start to think that subtly God is against us. And when we think that, then we subtly lift ourselves up so that we can become our own gods. This is really simple. Again, it's going to sound so stinking simple, but it's not simple because of, I want you to understand, there is a locomotive behind this of weight bearing on it. And this is this. If God wasn't for you, Christ wouldn't have come. If God was not for you, Christ would not have come. He would have stayed right where he was. But God was so for you that Christ came, and not only did Christ come, but he sacrificed himself as an atonement for the sin, for all your sin, past, present, and future, all the wrath that was due to you. And let me tell you what, it's probably a lot for all of us. All the wrath that was due to all of us, Jesus absorbed in himself. That's why in the garden, Jesus is weeping and saying, Father, take this from me if it's your will. Because Jesus, he knew what was in that cup. He knew what we deserved. And he knew what that meant to take that upon himself. Some people are like, he didn't know till he got there. No, he knew before, well before the cross. He knew enough that he sweated drops of blood. You can go on Google that. It's a medical condition caused by the most extreme cases of stress. They've only found it in a few places. There was some concentration camps during the Holocaust that they found it happening. Extreme cases of stress. It actually happens. You sweat blood, drops of blood out your pores. So we knew the stress that Jesus was under, and we knew it was because this was coming. He knew what it was.
I'm also thinking, Jason, knowing your pastoral heart and your desire for people to experience the freedom. And I think this happens a lot of time with pastors. People come running to the pastor, please pray for me, please pray for me, for my needs. And aren't you almost wanting them to mature and go to God themselves? Aren't you saying, hey, you know, certainly I can pray for you, but shouldn't you engage with God, that individual?
Well, it would be great. I mean, that would be great if that could happen.
I mean, you don't have this pastoral magic wand where your prayers are that much more heard by God than theirs.
No, not at all. But on the other side of that, I would say that God sent through Jesus an intercessor to us. So we naturally, in our humanity, we need one to intercede for us. Sometimes we can see it. I had a get-together with an individual who came, and they were like, I know this is sin, and I know what this is, and I know what this thing is I'm up against, and I know what I'm dealing with, but I just can't seem to get around it. It is, and not that they couldn't get around it, like fix it. They knew how to fix it, but they couldn't get around it in their mind. And I think that sometimes sin is like that. It's just so overwhelming to us when it comes knocking at our door, especially we believers in Christ. I mean, we see sin, and that's why when you see something that's sinful, you get like this righteous, holy anger, and it's so frustrating to you. And then what happens oftentimes, unfortunately, as Christians, is we take that righteous and holy anger, that righteous and holy energy, I almost would say, and we give it the wrong way. See, God took all his righteous and holy energy, and he manifested Jesus Christ, the ultimate expression of love. And there is, in all of that, there was judgment and there was different things happening. But God took his whole faculties, all that he was, and emptied himself of that so that he could give to us Jesus Christ. And so we need to take that energy and give it in love. But I think that even I know myself, there are times when I know what I ought to do, when I know how I should do it, when I know that, and it's as if sin has taken the legs out from beneath me, and it's hard to just, you just sit there and you're just so overwhelmed. So you need an intercessor.
Yeah, and I don't want to minimize because I totally agree. And when you bring things to light and you have like a pastor, somebody who has your best interest in mind to help you process and work it through. But what bugs me sometimes is like at every meal, oh, we need the pastor to pray.
Oh,
hey, come on, Christians, you can pray. I mean, your prayers are heard by God. But yeah, I agree. It's wonderful.
If you come over to my house like for dinner, I generally won't pray. We've been out with some small groups before. I'll ask my wife to pray, which is shocking to some people. They'll be like, oh my gosh, we haven't really ever heard a pastor's wife pray at this one of these things. I'll ask somebody if we have a small group, I'll ask somebody else in the small group to pray.
Yeah.
And what I usually do is, because I'll take my kind of pastoral role and I'll use it to delegate it out.
Yeah.
Because the natural inclination for people is that I'll talk, they'll listen, I'll pray, they'll kind of stand. And we just need to understand, I mean, when Moses got up on top of that rock, and he made intercession. He brought up Aaron and Hur with him, and they both held his arms up because he got tired. Which, look, if Moses got tired, I mean, that was God's, like, God chose him. And if Moses got tired, then how much more will we all get tired? Because Moses was a man just like us. James tells us these things.
Well, I know next week you have a number of events being held at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad, and none of them are tiring because actually some of them are experiential where people walk in. It's not like staffed. You don't have to be preaching. In fact, I know for 2 years you've had this very unique Friday service that I think is just so outstanding. So I want to alert our listeners, if they're in the vicinity or in the area, they should come and replicate this in their churches in the future if their church doesn't hold something such like the service you're putting on. So talk a little bit about what's happening next Thursday, Friday, and then certainly Resurrection Sunday.
So Thursday we're going to do at 6 p.m. You go to communityfreechurch.com. That's communityfreechurch.com. And you can click on the link on the homepage there, and you can register for our Passover Seder meal, which will begin at 6 o'clock. We'll walk through the Passover Seder, the Seder story, the Passover story, and then really highlighting Jesus. It's interesting because I've come to a point this year where I said, you know what? There are certain things I'm no longer going to do, because what's happening is I'm trying to do too many things. And people get their feelings hurt when you're trying to too many things because you can't do them. So somewhere things slip through the cracks. So this year I said, this is all I'm going to do is this and this and this. So I'm going to be rewriting that material. So if you've come in the past and journeyed with us, this will be entirely new, because I really want to focus on Christ and bring glory to him and the gospel. And then through that, the understanding of the Old Testament Passover story, what happens in Leviticus, some other things. And we'll also have Jake, who is our worship leader, will come, and he's going to lead a time of worship during that also with some Jewish songs and also classic songs that bring glory to Christ. And then we're asking that you bring a meal to share. The cost for the Seder meal is zero, zilch, nothing. You can make a donation if you want. But what we really love for you to do is just bring a potluck dish to share. In the past, we've done kosher. This year, we said, nope, bring bacon, bring ham. It doesn't matter. We want to just share in a meal together with no legalism and no kind of things on top of that. Friday night, beginning at 6 p.m. and going till 9 p.m., we have what we call our silent service. And what we really do is it's like Stations of the Cross, but we go to a lot of trouble to make each area very experiential through video, through music, through lighting, through props. You know, you go into an area that looks like the garden. We go all out to try and make it look like the Garden of Gethsemane. So when you go in to pray, you feel like you're praying in the garden where Jesus prayed. There's no volunteers. There's nobody to do it. You can come at 6 and leave at 6:10. You can come at 6 and stay until 9. It's whatever God wants to do. For you, it's your time with God. The idea of it for me is that I'm not in charge. My simple job is at the door is to hand you a program to help guide you through the station so you understand what the flow is. But beyond that, I have no role. The role in this room is the Holy Spirit speaking, convicting, leading, guiding. Last year, maybe we had 120 people come and experience this. Well over half the people left extremely emotional because God had done some cleaning in their lives in it. And it was just a fantastic time.
And it's a bit interactive. There's some steps that you take or things that you do or give over, or surrender, or witness.
Right.
Or
each station has something that we're asking you to do, but then really to just spend time experiencing. We don't want to put too many legalistic kind of handles on it. We want you to experience and let God be. Look, I want God to do it. When God spoke to me to do it, and I was shocked that it worked after I did it, I was like, nah, this is going to be kind of ho. I don't know. But it was amazing what I've seen it do in people's lives. So we just keep doing that. And then Sunday morning, 9:15, we have Easter breakfast. That's free for the family. Come and eat breakfast with us and then stay for our 10:45 worship gathering where we're going to talk about the fact that we are free in Jesus. And thank God that we're free in Jesus, and that freedom is eternal, not momentary, and that freedom is for everybody, not just some people.
And the website for more information, or maybe for people to get directions, or they need questions answered, or want verification.
So it's communityfreechurch.com. That's communityfreechurch.com. You can access that on your mobile phone, too. We got a great mobile application to help you with that. And the phone number is 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165. And chances are you'll have to leave a message, and we'll get back to you in a couple hours to help you do that. But go and register for it. We're doing that so that Tasha can get the right amount of numbers for the Seder meal so she can coordinate the food. She has radical gifts of hospitality. She just wants to make sure everybody eats well.
And well, we will be fed not only spiritually, but our tummies will be filled. Hey, sneak preview, Friday's broadcast. We're going through the book of Acts. What, Acts chapter 7?
Chapter 7. Stephen's on a tear.
All right. We invite you to tune in again at the same time for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends this Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget Joey Kroll's tomorrow. He always has an encouraging word and a devotional thought during the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.